Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You are listening to Pastor Elvis Ajiman. Pastor Elvis Ajiman is the founder of Grace Mountain Ministry and the convener of Alpha R. Follow Pastor Elvis on podcast. Podcast added for Android users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis, and podcast for Apple users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis. And now today's message. Stay blessed.
Great falling away. If we believe that Jesus has resurrected, then we must also believe in his coming back and all the events that will lead to his coming back. The Bible says, while they watched Jesus ascend in Acts chapter 1, an angel stood and told them that the same Jesus you see him go will come in like manner. That same Jesus will come back in like manner. I want to touch on a very serious subject that Apostle Paul drew the minds of the Thessalonian church to. In his first letter to the Thessalonian church, Apostle Paul wrote something powerful to them. We are going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. But before we read, I'll give you a little background. In his first letter, he gives them the assurance of the coming of Jesus one more time. And in the chapter 4 of the 1 Thessalonians, he breaks it down and even gives them the beauty of how the coming will be. He says that at the last trump by the archangel, we shall see the Lord Jesus descend in a cloud. And he said that we that are alive, that was the confusion of the Thessalonian church. Paul said, we that are alive, we'll meet him in the air, but the dead will first rise and meet him. So when the Thessalonian church received that letter, the assumption they quickly ascribed to was that then we will not die before Jesus would come. Because Apostle Paul is saying that we that are alive, so they began to plan their lives according to the coming of Jesus. Some of them stopped working. Some of them divorced. Some of them left their homes in readiness of the coming of Jesus. Though it was a powerful action and it showed their enthusiasm to the coming Messiah, but they went to the extreme to a point that a massive poverty hit the church. Because people were not working anymore. They were not planning for the future. They were not planning for their children. They were not planning for them. Because they think that in a month's time or in a year time, Jesus is coming. And Apostle Paul's letter was accused and opposed by some Jewish people who were seeking to sway the new believers from believing in a true gospel. And they began to downplay the letter of Apostle Paul. And then Apostle Paul heard it and had to write another letter to the Thessalonian church to recommend them of their faith and how they received the first letter and believed that indeed Jesus was coming. And Apostle Paul did not really cancel out his message of the coming of Christ. But he rather gave, probably by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He gave a certain sequence that will lead to the coming of the Lord Jesus. So he didn't abolish the revelation that Jesus will come back. But he now gave them the systematic sequence to his coming. And that is where the body of Christ today must understand. Because somewhere, somehow, at the glaring in our face, things are happening that is unfolding this very event about the coming of this Jesus. How awful it will be that you will be in church for 15 years, 20 years, and you don't even understand the mystery of mysteries that is about to unfold in the world. I'm taking it upon myself to explain this to us, because soon it's going to happen. We have already faced and come across the various events. Apostle Paul writes a second letter and said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together him." Now Apostle Paul is coming to tell them what he has already taught them in the first letter. And he's bringing an explanation to that. And he said, "Now I want to tell you about the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to meet him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us." So he includes his letter and said, "I don't want you to be troubled again. Not by any word of God, not by any spirit, not by any letter. I'm not coming to tell you how things will happen. I'm coming to tell you. And after I tell you this, don't be shaken by anything you receive again. Don't be shaken. Please listen to me. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Somebody say, "Jesus is coming." Somebody say it again. "Jesus is coming." I want you to repeat it again. "Jesus is coming." Now, can we read the verse 3? One to go. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Somebody say first. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things." I'm teaching on the great falling away. And Apostle Paul said that don't be shaken in mind. Don't be worried. Jesus is not coming except these two things happen. And the first is the falling away of the church. And the second is the coming of the beast, the Antichrist. I wonder, I thought that the Antichrist should come to cause people to fall. That should have been the sequence. But the Bible said that there will be a falling away first. Then the Antichrist will come. And when the Antichrist comes, then Jesus will come. So what the church must be seeing and what the church must be looking for is, what is this falling away? And what time is it coming? And is it already in at all? what is the falling away that must come first to prepare the way for the Antichrist. The Antichrist will not be that powerful. His power will be precedent on the falling away of the church. I'm telling you, the whole power of the Antichrist will be resident on the condition of the church at his appearing. He will not come and meet a church that is strong in faith. He will not come and meet a church that is walking. I'm going to show you the three things that the church will fall away from before the Antichrist comes. And that will be the pillar of his authority on earth. It will not be possible that he will make himself God and everybody will worship him. It will not be possible. But the Bible says the only possibility around his exaltation will be the falling away of the church. It will not be breaking down of temples. It will not be breaking down of churches. It will not be collapsing of churches. The strength of the Antichrist will not be that Grace Mountain will collapse. The strength of the Antichrist will not be that Lighthouse or ICGC or Methodist will collapse. The strength will be that we come to church, but we are falling away from the true faith. So though we have gathered, but already we have fallen so far from God to a point that when he makes himself God, we will have no problem with that. Without the church, the Antichrist cannot have the authority that he has. It is the church that must deliver that authority to him. And it's going to happen right from the altar when the great falling away will come. The Bible calls it the defiling of the temple. The Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. And the Bible also calls it the deceivableness of unrighteousness. Maybe when it's time, I will let us read some of these scriptures and you will understand the direction of the church. Hey. The three things that we are going to fall away from. That the church will come and God will no more be their focus. That Jesus will only be in their lips, but their hearts will be far away. And then suddenly the Antichrist will hold on to it. No wonder in 2018, the authorities of the body in the world, of the body of Christ in the world, was ready to sign a pact of a one world religion, which is still in place. You look beautiful, you look so wonderful, you come to church, things are fine. But a day is coming that you will look for some of the things that I was saying. Some of you will sit back home and realize that, oh, all this while, this man was right. There is a time coming. And it has begun. The great falling away has begun. It has begun. Jesus gave a deep revelation of how the great falling away will happen. In Matthew 24, verse number 7. So we are going to break down the three things that the church will fall away from. And then we walk away meditating on what we should expect in some few months or years to come. For nations shall rise against nations. And there shall be, give me the verse 5, let me start from the deception period. For many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come. Have we seen wars in the world? Have we seen deceptions in the world? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be ye not troubled, the end have not still come. We shall see them. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Are we seeing earthquakes? Are we seeing famines? Are we seeing diseases? How can the whole disease shut down the world? We are approaching something. But the danger about it is that the Bible says what will precede this is falsehood. So because falsehood will precede it, the problem is that even when prophecies are unveiling, there will be no one to warn the church that something is coming. There will be no one. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So now if we pray to God and tell the Lord that remove COVID-19, all we are telling him is that remove a prophecy. Can't happen. It is the church that must understand the tribulation that will happen because of the defilement of the church. God has always used tribulation to purify the church whenever the church begins to defile and corrupt themselves. I will show you the three times the temple of God was destroyed in scriptures. And they were all destroyed with the preceding defilement of the people of God. So whenever you see something like this, it is telling you that it is the falling away that will allow these things. And these things will come so that the church will be purified and separated from the chaff. And he said, then shall you, they deliver you up to affliction and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. Listen, what is about to happen to the church, whatever has happened before, is little. I'm telling you. It's because we don't understand the handwritings of God. That is why we make certain bold declarations of faith and we think we are operating in faith. And we don't even understand the mystery of faith. That the mystery of faith is not, I will not that, I will be this and I'll be that. That is not the mystery of faith. The mystery of faith is a person called Jesus. That the people will invest their trust in. And so we may stand to make all kinds of declarations and everything, but it won't change what is about to happen. The only thing that will change is us. We must change to suit into that prophecy. The church must change to suit into it. And then shall many be offended. This is the great falling away. When it should come, give me the NIV. Then let's all read it once to go. And will betray and hate each other. Somebody said the turning away of the faith, the turning away from love. And the verse 11, let's go. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So false prophet will appear. Many shall turn from the faith, and then the love of many will grow cold. The first turning away of the church will be the falling away from the truth. From the truth. From the truth. I don't know whether I know I'm teaching this in the right season. I know I'm teaching this in the right time. But I don't know whether I'm teaching it to the right people. The falling away from the truth. That will be the first pillar of strength for the Antichrist. when the church will no more have their focus on Jesus, and they will begin to search for other things apart from Jesus, and God will no more be God to them, but there will be things other. Listen, there is a practice going on. So the day the Antichrist will come and say, I'm God, the church will not have any problem. If you read Daniel chapter 11 verse 30 downwards, the Bible says that he will swim many to worship him, and that will be the abomination of desolation that will happen in the temple. We have started training ourselves of making other things God, to a point that when he shows up and say, I am the God, we won't have any problem worshiping him. That is why today we are making practice of our jobs becoming our God, of our relationships becoming our God, our properties becoming our God. We rise up in the morning to worship it. We go to sleep to worship it. Everything. We are in a practice of idolism. And that will be the strength of the Antichrist when he should show up. There will be a people who have already rejected God. Yet, they say they worship him, but they have already rejected him. And they will dress well, coming to worship him. But in reality, they don't know him. They don't care for him. There are some people who even organize programs because of the money they will get. And idolism has already started in the church. And that will be the introduction of destruction that is about to hit. Listen, we saw how God, these falling aways, brought in destruction. This was the revelation of Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:17, when he said that anyone that defiles, don't you know your body is the temple of God, and anyone that defiles the temple of God, God will destroy. It was a revelation of what he has seen, a trend that he has seen from the Old Testament, how every single time the people would defile the temple of God, then suddenly there is destruction, there is tribulation coming, and when that tribulation comes, then there is a new repentance. And God is going to prepare the church. But what will prepare the church and refine the church will be a tribulation. And what will cause the tribulation will be the defilement happening now in the church. It will be. Moses built the tabernacle for a long time in Shiloh. It was built in Shiloh for a long time. And it remained there for more than 400 years. Until the sons of Eli came and started sleeping with married women, young women, defiling the temple. And then God raised enemies through the Philistines, came against Israel and destroyed. That day Eli died, his two sons died, and the ark of God was carried away. This is what happened. How can the ark of God that the glory is resident on be carried away? It happened when the defilement began in the church. Falsehood began. What is about to happen to the church, if we have record of history and how God works, anytime we come, we should put our hands on our heads. What the tribulation the church is about to face. We talk of a revival coming. Every prophecy in the New Testament talks of a tribulation coming. So don't. I've been searching for revival in the New Testament. I've been searching. Will there come a revival? But every prophecy of the New Testament, according to Apostle Paul, according to Apostle Peter, according to Jesus himself, even John the Revelator, every prophecy about the end time is not a good one. It's not a revival. It's a tribulation coming. And the mother of that tribulation is per what happened in history, the defilement, the abomination of desolation, that is repeating itself from time to time to time. It's repeating itself. And we are seeing it with our own eyes happening in our churches. From Grace Mountain to the next church to the next church. That falling away. And hopefully and Phinehas will have sex in church. Corrupt the sacrifices of God. Steal the offerings of God. And God kept warning until the Philistines attacked, destroyed the temple, and carried the Ark of Covenant from the temple and left. Eli heard it, had a heart panic, bang, and died. And this was the first warning that anytime there is a falling away of God's people, the next thing that comes is a great tribulation that must bring a renewal and a repentance of heart. Then King Solomon comes to build another temple, beautiful, filled with gold, so expensive. And then he dies and goes. And the son of Hezekiah, he prayed to God. God knew what that son would be. So he sent Isaiah to tell Hezekiah that prepare yourself, for you are about to die. That is the greatest honor a man can receive from the supernatural realm. That God was sent to you, not in anger. No, God was not angry. But he was seeing a future. A defilement of a temple. Then Hezekiah turns to the wall and begins to question God. Why would you take my life? And God gives him 15 more years. And within that 15 years, he gives birth to a son called Manasseh. And that son became the most evil king that Israel has ever had. He was the young man that literally took the strange gods of his grandfather Solomon, the wives of his grandfather Solomon, and brought them, the Tamul and the rest, brought them to the temple. So the beautiful temple of God, when you go to the Holy of Holies, the ark is there. But when you come to the inner court and the rest, are several idols. What an abomination. But Manasseh brought said defilement. I'm coming to tell you why Jesus said that there will be false prophets and there will be a falling away. When we will also bring gods in the church. Today we are seeing it. Today's church has more gods in the church than the time of Manasseh. This generation. We practice occultism. We practice necromancy in church. Whereby we call you and let a dead speak through you. And we are fine and we can't see that the great falling away of the church that will lead to our greatest tribulation is happening right now in our nose. When God will be replaced by another thing. Can't you see that God has been replaced by your pastor? Can't you see that there is another God in Grace Mountain? Can't you see Jesus is not the only one? Whereas you come to church and there are other things and other messages that are not centered on him. Can't you see that there is another God? And Manasseh introduces these gods. And nobody saw. Until God sent Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah kept warning them. That remember what God did in Shiloh. Remember how he destroyed the tabernacle in Shiloh. Carry the gods away. And they will not carry until Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the whole temple, bent it down, and held all of them captive. And then after they had been held captive, Ezekiel was caught up in the spirit. God wanted Ezekiel to know that what has happened is not my weakness. What has happened is my system to purify. Something is about to happen to the body of Christ. It will not be the weakness of Jesus. It has been his system to purify his church. Pastors will die anyhow. Strange things will happen to the church anyhow. I'm telling you, it is always a tribulation that will lead to the purifying of God's temples. The worst of it is that in our day, the temple is not this building, the temple is you. So if he has to use tribulation to purify you, that becomes another thing. They get there. Then Ezekiel is caught up in the spirit, according to Ezekiel 8 to Ezekiel 11. I can't let us read 3 chapters, but when you go home, spend time and read. Ezekiel is caught up in the spirit into the old temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. He sees it, and that was the shock of Ezekiel. He gets into the spirit and realizes that there were gods all over the walls, and he saw the 70 elders of Israel worshipping the gods. Ezekiel was watching, and Ezekiel could count in the spirit the years that the spirit and the glory of God rested in the Holy of Holies on the ark. He saw the number of years. And theologians say it was more than 100 years. God was resting in the temple with other gods. And the elders were bowing to those gods. So they will go back and tell the people, we went to worship and make sacrifices to God. But in reality, they had planted lesser gods in the temple. And they go and worship the lesser gods and come back to the people and say, we've made sacrifices for you. For the God of Israel. And God was watching. The same thing happening in our day. We have leaders who don't even know God. We have leaders God don't know. And yet we have committed our spirit, souls, and bodies to them. And they go and bow to other gods and come back and tell us that this is what the God in heaven is saying, but they don't even know him. We have introduced strange doctrines. The Bible calls them the doctrine of devils. And Ezekiel saw them worship the gods. And by chapter 10, he saw the cherubims of God come later to carry the glory that rested in the Holy of Holies away. It was after that glory was lifted that God sent Nebuchadnezzar to go and destroy the temple. So Ezekiel sat down and said, oh, okay. So it's not that God was not powerful. He lifted his glory before Nebuchadnezzar could destroy. What is about to happen is when we will do a lot of activities, but there will be no glory. At that point, we should know that the God who lifts up glory when defilement happens is lifting his glory. He's lifting it. And we all with our eyes will see. When in some few years ago, when people go to church, they came back with God. Tangible glories that shows that indeed prayer is powerful. People worshipped and they came back with testimonies as a proof that there is power in worship. People will study the word of God or come and sit under a... Those days when we say a man of God is powerful, he's powerful. It's not gimmicks. He comes to give you a word. Ah, gone are the days when a man of God says, I will come and let me give you a direction. He will give you Psalm 122. Go and fast and read it. And you will read it and have the glory manifest. But today, There are Christians that have stones under their beds. It will amaze you that oil is not only yellow. We have green, we have red, we have blue. After everything. You know why? All these things are coming in. It's because when the glory was ascending, we are not seeing, and it's still going. A day is coming that when destruction hits the world and hits the church, we will sit back and say, it's our Jesus, not powerful. No, that has been his system. He will lift up his glory. And unless we see the glory lifting and we cry out to him that, Lord, save us, and we separate ourselves from the defilement. That is the only way. But as we are seeing now, the only glory we see is the glory of numbers. People come to church and they themselves know the promise in the Bible is not their reality. They are not seeing it. If we will be fair to ourselves, it has been noise upon noise upon noise. Not until the church will have their eyes opened and say that, God, we won't allow this to happen in our time. We will preserve the glory. How do we preserve the glory? When God becomes God among us. When no man is given the opportunity to stand in his place. But only him. When our work, our marriage, our businesses, our debt, our money, our ego will not step in his place. But only him will be God. That is when his glory rests in the church. Then Ezekiel saw that, oh, so before the destruction, the cherubim came and carried the glory away. The third destruction of the temple was the greatest sin. Jesus looked at them and said, because you don't know your visitation, not even one block will remain on the temple. They thought he was joking. They betrayed him to the Romans. And the Romans killed him. But before he would give up the ghost, before he would die, he said, it is finished. And he breathed and gave up the ghost. And this is how the glory departed. The Bible says, and the veil torn from up to the bottom. In the moment it torn, it was a sign that the glory has left and the temple must be destroyed. No wonder in AD 70, the Romans invaded Israel. Bent down the whole temple. And when the whole temple was bent down, it was left with one wall that today they call the Wailing Wall. They have not been able to build the temple again till today. This is the history of the God we are dealing with. And today, people will say, we are going to Israel to pray, and they go and stand beside the Wailing Wall. No, the Wailing Wall is a sign that if you defile my temple, I destroy you. And Apostle Paul, being so sensitive to the Spirit, comes back and tells us that, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And anyone that defiles the temple, God will destroy. How do we defile the temple? It's when we walk away from the truth that Jesus being the truth. I fear for our generation. In one of the days in this week of grace, after service, we were discussing something. And I was telling Prophet David that my heart beat for this generation. The kind of generation that is coming, they won't accept our message today. They won't. They won't. Because the devil has taken over that generation quickly. And they will come and question our faith. Because they are being taught that you have a right to determine your sex. They are being taught against faith. They are being taught against Christianity. And God has allowed it because that will be the tribulation against the church. In the tribulation, there will be books delivered to them that will let them question. What we are preaching today, they will crumple it, throw it in a dustbin. It can't save us. Because a generation is coming. Money will not be a problem. So if Christianity is about becoming rich, they will crumple our message and throw it away. It's a generation that will have the technology to live a healthy life. So if our message is to be Jesus, it will heal you. They will tell you that I have all the technology. They will crumple our message and throw it away. And God has allowed that generation to arise. He has allowed. And that generation is coming. So if you are a pastor and you are seeing yourself as a great pastor in 30 years' time, I warn you. I warn you. Prepare yourself against a generation that is arising. They will have no respect for God. Though God is raising his own among those children, but the devil is preparing. A generation that have been taught that at a tender age, sex is their right. And they are taught that it is healthy for their bodies. How would you preach? Do you know that they are editing the Bible today and they are removing sin from every part of the Bible? Get about 5 Bibles. Hide it somewhere. And don't doubt them. Don't doubt them. If today they have succeeded in vaccinating, preparing the minds and hearts of everybody to vaccinate everybody, don't doubt them. They are coming after everybody. And they will use the church as usual. They will use the church to propagate everything that they want to do. Use it. Today, if you don't vaccinate, forget about traveling because they are introducing COVID passport. Forget about traveling. They are coming after us. Are coming after us. Whatever the agenda is, you should know. You should know. If the disease, if we accept that disease was laboratory made, then we should accept that whatever vaccine they want to give you has something else. You won't see it today. You see it tomorrow. But the truth of the matter is that now the church together with the world have no option. So you must be vaccinated. That should tell you the strength of what we are dealing with. Coming after everybody. And God has allowed it. Why? It's because we forsook God, even though we were holding services every time. And his trend is that he will always leave the church to his enemies to bring purification. They're falling away from the truth. It's a prophecy. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Na, 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 na. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit is very clear that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said it's a clear message from the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul, some of his writings, he will say that I am saying. Some of his writings, he will let you know this is the Holy Spirit. He said this is the express speaking of the Holy Spirit. Number one, they will depart from the faith. Number two, there will be seducing spirits. Number three, there will be doctrines of devils. Grace Mountain, watch out. What we are dealing with is not break and go. No. What we are dealing with is heavier than that. What happened in 2020 was a shadow. It's coming. It's coming. There should always be a voice that will sound a trumpet that this is happening and this will happen. He said that this is what is going to sway the whole world. This will be the strength. This will start the falling away. There will be deception everywhere. Doctrines of devils. So as we are sitting now, there are doctrines of devils. The devil created the message out of scriptures and has brought it. And he calls it that these are the works of seducing spirits. Do you know what seduction is? Do you know what seduction is? A doctrine that is seducing you. A doctrine that is seducing you. This flesh has already been revealed what it loves. Galatians 5 verse 19 reveals everything this flesh loves. And there is a doctrine that has been made to seduce that flesh. A doctrine that does not tell you sin is evil. A doctrine that tells you whatever you are doing is fine with God. A doctrine that will not instruct and warn you of your defiling of your temple. A doctrine of the Jezebel of the Thyatira church. A doctrine. You are in a church comfortably having sex with ladies in the church and you are not warned by the messages on the pulpit. That is a seducing doctrine of devils. Listen, let me shock you. Any message that gives you so much examples that you make you feel that God will make you a millionaire tomorrow is a seducing doctrine. It is resting in our church today. How sad. How would people know when the truth is being preached? Sometimes it may even be preached by the poor. So you will say because he doesn't have money. That is why he is saying that. But there is a doctrine that has been crafted in hell. The Bible says even Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. Is coming. So has his ministers transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. Ministers of righteousness. So the devil has preachers that are preachers of righteousness. No wonder. In 2 Thessalonians 2, the verse number 9 downwards, it talks about the nature of the atmosphere that will lead to the coming of the Antichrist. Oh. Look at that. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Somebody say deceivableness. Somebody shout it and say deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Do you know what deceivableness of unrighteousness is? You are in unrighteousness, but you are being deceived that it is right. And the Bible says God will give us to set delusion that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The truth is that many don't even know that what they are doing is unrighteous, because there is no truth that is being presented to them. Drink a little, smoke a little. It can be found in scriptures. Smoking is not in scriptures. Even the Bible says that there's smoke from God's nostrils. And we have pleasure. Pleasure. And this is the generation that we are raising. A generation that don't know God. They only hear something when they come to church. But they don't take the Bible to study for themselves. That is the generation that will surely defile their temple. But the great falling away going to happen. It's happening. We started falling over a time. When the church was built newly in the book of Acts, they were going to church every day. And they were going to the temple 3 times to pray. Until the falling away began. We reduced it to 3. Now we reduced it to 2. And even the 2, people think that is a burden. Yet Christ and say, God, Jesus is my Lord. He says back, look at us and say, wait for me. I'm coming. Another time, Apostle Paul reveals the evil that is about to hit the church in the great falling away season. 2 Timothy 3:1. I just want you to read some scriptures for yourself. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Then we all read this one to go. Best of their own selves. Convert yours. Listen, please read it. Read it, because this is a serious matter. He said, in the last days, tribulations will come. So this is why God will send tribulations against the church. Perilous times will come. This is why. I'm telling you why today we have a lot of church services, but people are not coming out of their problems. I'm telling you. But if we will refine ourselves one more time and cleanse ourselves, the Lord will separate us and His glory shall come upon us. Can we read that thing that will bring the tribulation of our time? Let's declare it one to go. If you find your own in it, if you find your own, then you write it down and you go and pray and work over it. Am I here with the church? Can we read it? When you find your own, you just lift up your hands and say, Lord, help me. Hallelujah. Let's shout it and read it one to go. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are there homosexuals here? Wave your hands and say, Lord, help me. Praise God. Okay, so let's keep reading. One to go. Covetous, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Listen, at the end of the day, they are into all these things. But the deception is that they put on the form of godliness. So they are traitors, they are lovers of themselves, they are covetous, they are homosexuals, they are despisers of good. What else? Kikabia. They are unholy, unthankful, disobedient to parents. They are all that. But the deception is that they put on the form of godliness, but denying the power. What is the power? God has already lifted his glory. So, they have the form. They'll come and stand and minister powerfully. The form is there. But because they are into all these things, there is no glory. Because they are the temple of God. They are the temple of God. Because of that, God has already lifted his temple and they are on their way to great tribulation. Sometimes when you meet people in several cycles of problems, don't promise to pray for them. Tell them to repent. If they go home, they know what to repent from. The great falling away is happening in our day so fast. There is no holiness in the church. There is no right. Listen, people are far from the lordship of Christ Jesus. And because we don't understand the danger and the prophecy that is ahead, we deceive ourselves with certain doctrines of the devils. And we keep hoping it shall be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. Yes, it will be well for those that repent and begin to work on that temple until they have separated themselves from evil. Falling away from the truth. The falling away from holiness. And the falling away from love. Jesus said that the love of many will wax cold because of the iniquity that will abound. The love of many will wax cold. When false prophets abound and deliver into our hands the doctrines of devils, what is next is that iniquity will multiply and increase. And when iniquity increases, the love of many. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 will be trampled upon in our day. This is what has been missing in the body today. When love goes down, both love for God and love for each other. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and in prayers. This was the result of the love that must exist. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. Number one, to fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship. And how were they fellowshipping? They were fellowshipping in communion. There is a version that reveals it as communion in the verse 42. Find it for me. DLB. This piece of communion that must exist. Can we all read it? TLB, want to go. They joined with the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions and at the communion services and prayer meetings. This was a product of genuine love in the church. Every teaching service, the whole church gathered. Communion services, the whole church. It's today that we have no value for communion service. And someone would rather watch a television when communion service is happening. You don't even understand the mystery of the communion. That it is an enforcement of your covenant with Jesus. Anytime you take the communion with the church, we are enforcing a covenant It's an unbreakable tie. The only thing that can break that tie is when you refuse to take the communion. Two things is when you refuse baptism and you refuse taking communion, you break the covenant between you and Jesus. And there are many of us who profess to be Christians. The covenant is already breaking because we are not baptized and we don't take communion. That is why all the promises around the New Testament and the New Covenant, you are not seeing it in your life. Because you have already broken it through these two actions. Not being baptized and not taking the communion together with the church. But when you continue to read, they will sell all they have and bring it to the apostles. And there will be a division among the church. Jesus said, one of the signs of the falling away will be that the love of many is cold. And that was the accusation to the Ephesian church. Remember your first love and return. A church that keeps fighting among ourselves. A church that keeps gossiping among ourselves. You don't understand what we are doing to ourselves. A church of corruption. A church without passion. A church without sympathy. A church without forgiveness. We don't know what we are doing. But it will come after us. When it's time for the temples to be destroyed, so that our spirits shall be received back into uprightness. That is when we will know the mess we have put ourselves in. No wonder Apostle Peter, when a young man fornicated in the church, he said that pray and deliver his body to Satan, that Satan will destroy his body so that his spirit will be saved. That has been God's system. If you keep on sinning, he destroys your temple so that your spirit will be preserved. That is what is coming after the church. If nobody sounds a trumpet, many of you, I understand, genuinely, you don't know how the system is working in the scriptures. You don't know. But today I'm telling you, if you don't renew your walk with God and understand the place of holiness, the place of love, and the place of truth in this our season, you are going far from the truth and the reality of what God has placed there for the church. And the next thing will be a tribulation that we can't handle. I can't lie to you. Telling you, if you know Jesus resurrected, then know that this is about to happen. And prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. We are seeing the falling away right in our eyes. There is no truth. Isaiah 59 is repeating itself here. I think Isaiah 59, 14 or so is repeating itself here. It says, yeah, truth fails. And anyone that walks away from evil has become a prey. Yeah, truth is failing. You preach truth and you are attacked. You stand for truth and you are attacked. They want us to accept falsehood. We cannot accept it. It is a sign of the falling away. We can't. I can't tell you that you can still fornicate and it's fine. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you to keep on disobeying your parents and it's fine. I can't tell you that it's good to be a traitor. I can't tell you that it's good to be proud. I can't tell you that it's good to stand and only put on the form of godliness and deny. You see the glory departing, you deny. Ichabod is happening in our day again. If Ichabod happens, the next thing is a distraction that we can't handle. Stop me. You see, you just... We can make the noise. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. It's already happening. The most depressed people today in the world is Christians. The most impoverished is Christians. The most disappointed is Christian. God, our Lord, is sending us a message. Touch the temple and I will treat you, deal with you till you return back to repentance. His answer to immorality is tribulation. His answer to sin has always been a tribulation. Have you forgotten what he said to the woman in Jezebel at Thyatira? He said that I will put you in a bed and I will send you a great tribulation. I will kill your children until you repent. Revelation 2:18. I will kill your children until you repent. There is a call. There is a call. Don't be deceived. When the whole world is pursuing money and we don't know that we are letting God suffer matisa. Be careful. Jesus will tell you, don't serve God and money. Money looks like God. I'm telling you. The reason why Jesus will say, don't serve two masters. Don't serve mammon and God. He knows that mammon is too strong to take the place of God in the church. And today it's happening. It's happening. Mammon is strong. He can do about 50% of what God is doing for us. You have money and you won't pray for certain things again. Money is doing for people what God is doing for us. He said that these will be the two gods in the end time. And the danger will be the corruption of Nebuchadnezzar in this end time. Why was Nebuchadnezzar made an enigma? He had a dream and saw an image. The head of the image is gold, the breast is silver, the arms and the waist is brass, the legs are iron, the feet are clay and iron. He saw it and he beat his imagination. He has forgotten the dream and he finds a wise man who can interpret this dream for me. And then one wise man called Belshazzar, Daniel, appears and tells him the dream and gives him an interpretation of the dream and tells him that Nebuchadnezzar, all king, live long, for you are the head that is gold. For God has given you the whole earth and given you animals and given you everything that was created. Nebuchadnezzar said, so is that so? I'm the head, the golden head. He said yes. The moment he got the interpretation, what happened was that he made an image of gold and said, everybody worship. The moment he saw that he was the golden part of that vision, he made the physical gold and said, everybody worship. God said, I can make you something. But don't let your ego turn you into a god. He became an animal after that for 7 years. Came back and acknowledged that the God of Daniel is the God of the whole world. What am I saying? What will bring the tribulation of our time is when people decide to take the place of God. I stand here today and I tell you, Grace Mountain, I am not your God. Not your God. I cannot be God and I will never be God. You give God what is due him and you give a man what is doing? Know how to separate God from man. Know it. If you don't know, go and learn. Go and learn how to place God in man. One time they told Paul that the God has come among us. The Bible says that Apostle Paul went and pleaded. Don't not call me a god. He understood the mystery of the great falling away of the church. We have come to a place of no fear of God. We have come to a place that we fight for attention with God. We have come to a place of our ego and our pride, that we come in His presence and we still keep on to who we are in His presence. And He's watching the church. How far have you gone in life that you cannot give your all to Jesus? How far have you gone in life that you must be begged to serve God? How far have you gone in life that today Jesus means nothing to you? How far? How far have you fallen that you are using your strength, the talent, the gift, the grace, the blessing that God has given you, you are using it to serve the world instead of serving Him? Oh, why are you serving your boyfriend more than serving Jesus? Why are you serving money more than serving Jesus? How far have we gone from our Master? Will we be part of those who will make the work of the Antichrist easy? Will we be part of those who will accept Him even when He has not declared Himself as God? Will we be part of that generation that will fall so far from God that if a man comes and says he is God, we will still accept? The Bible said He will work with the powers of Satan and work many signs and lying wonders, and God will give us to delusion that we will believe a lie. How far have you gone to be deceived by a miracle? How far have you gone to be deceived by a lying wonder? How far have you gone that to make a miracle worker a god? How far can we go? But the Bible says we will go so far that miracle workers that will be called God. God is not a miracle worker. He's bigger than that. He's a miracle. It's not a miracle worker. But somebody will come and work miracles, and we will ascribe the glory of God to that one. Because we have gone too far. Gone too far. We believe in gimmicks more than truth. Believe the great falling away that is making the Antichrist system successful in our day. They push any songs. They push any movie. Listen, consistently, they do awards in Ghana, and on Sunday people won't go to church because they will go for the event. Check the songs you have on your phone, not afford televisions, because we are preachers of truth, and nobody will give his money to us unless we perform gimmicks and lie to them. They will give us the money. When love will go very far, will go very far from the church. It's part of the falling away that will happen. The Bible says that we will hate one another. We will hate one another. Pastors only laugh with each other, but our hearts, we are frowning at each other. We won't even go far to denominational churches. I'm Grace Mountain here. There are pastors that hate other pastors. Here. Oh, you are only fulfilling scripture. Your tribulation will come soon. Your tribulation, you are defiling a temple of God with hatred and with division. in your tribulation that will bring repentance will come soon. Pray for the church that our eyes will be opened, that we will know what is coming ahead. There is a time coming. The only answer will be repentance. The only answer is that we buy the truth and we sell it not. The only answer is that we will go very to the length and the breadth of the truth. Will you lift up your hands? And this will be your prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. In a time like this, Lord, help me. Lord, help me.
Thy will come forth.
You read it and saw in 2 Timothy 3, the list of things that will make you only put on the form of godliness. That means if you are in all these things, whatever you carry is only a form of godliness, but there is no glory and power. God has already lifted his glory from your temple. The only way out is the way of repentance. That the church will come back to Jesus. And our focus will only be him. That we will not need motivation. Why will somebody motivate you? Why will somebody call you? Why will somebody be the one to tell you to serve Jesus? If you understand what is ahead of the church. If you understand. Oh, Shebna. Suzekai Shaboria Katai. Le Baroska Hande Masuza. Dizevenjuka Kimbasos. Zabalakis. Shemanda Koke de Messiah. That Fika Bada. Lord, I give you glory. Let your word be a seed in the heart of your people. This church will not fall away. None of us will fall away. We shall be an enemy to the system of the Antichrist. We shall not be supporters. We shall not be deceived. Our faith will be in the word. Our faith will remain in Christ. Our faith, Lord. I thank you for an answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Ajman Elvis. For inquiries, send us a mail on pastorelvis@gracemountainministry.org. For questions relating to relationships and marriage, send us a mail on loveclinic@elvisajman.org. You can also send your testimonies via testimonies@elvisajman.org. For offerings, visit www.payalphar.org. For more information, make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. Remember, faith cometh from hearing and hearing the word of God. Stay blessed.
Believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com. Yeah.